This week is a reminder that tooling is not neutral. The stuff we call tooling ends up holding secrets, holding budgets, and holding production together. And when that tooling breaks or gets repriced or gets abandoned, you feel it immediately, usually at 2 a.m. So today, a nasty N8N security issue that hits the workflow automation crowd, quietly raising prices on scheduled GPU capacity, and a Netflix pattern that basically says stop running critical ops as fragile scripts. Hey, I'm Brian Teller. I work in DevOps and SRE, and I run Teller's Tech. This is Ship It Weekly, where I filter the noise and pull out what actually matters when you're the one running infrastructure and owning reliability. Quick housekeeping, shipitweekly.fm has all of the links and show notes. And if you want to come on for a guest episode and talk through real DevOps, SRE, platform engineering, migrations, governance, incident scars, whatever, there's a contact form on the site. And if the show's been useful, follow it wherever you listen. A rating or review helps way more than it should. All right, three main stories, then the lightning round, then a closer. Story one, N8N, which a lot of teams use as a workflow automation platform, shipped a security fix for a critical issue that can turn into local file access and potentially worse, depending on how you run it. This is another your internal tool is part of your attack surface moment. Story two, AWS is raising prices around EC2 capacity blocks for ML. Basically, reserved scheduled GPU capacity. If you do any GPU work, cost assumptions just shifted. If you don't, it still matters because it's a signal. Constrained compute is not getting cheaper. Story 3. Netflix wrote about using Temporal to make cloud operations and deployments more reliable, claiming a huge reduction in transient failures. Even if you ignore the exact number, the pattern is gold. Let's get into it. Story 1 is N8N. If you haven't run into it, N8N is a workflow automation platform, the glue tool, the thing that ties together Slack, Jira, GitHub, webhooks, cloud APIs, whatever. And that right there is why I care. A critical vuln dropped CVE-2026-21858, and multiple write-ups describe it as a worst-case type issue. Unauthenticated attackers, remote code execution, full compromise potential, depending on how you run it. You'll also see it framed as unauthenticated file access via certain form-based workflows, which can lead to exposure of sensitive info and then escalation from there. Either way, this is not a patch it next sprint situation. Now, the reason this matters isn't just because N8N is popular. It's because the thing we keep doing in modern ops is we build these automation islands and then we forget they exist. Somebody sets up N8N or Zapier or a self-hosted workflow runner. It starts as just notifications. Then it becomes kick off a deploy. Then it becomes call this internal endpoint. Then it becomes rotate this secret. Then it becomes close this incident. And at some point, that tool has enough power to wreck your week. This is the same story as CI controllers, Jenkins controllers, GitHub runners, internal bot accounts, chat ops systems. They're not just tooling, they're privileged systems. So here's the practical takeaway. And I'm going to say it like I'd say it to my own team. If a tool can trigger actions in production, it is production adjacent infrastructure. Treat it like that. That means three things. First, exposure. If you have this thing reachable from the public internet, you need to be able to explain why. Because it was easier is not a reason. Put it behind SSO. Restrict inbound and don't let webhooks turn into open doors. Second, credentials. This is where people get killed. Workflow tools tend to accumulate credentials, like lint accumulates in your dryer. A token here, a key there, just make it work. And then you've got one compromised system that can call everything. So the move is per workflow credentials and least privilege. If workflow A posts to Slack, it should not have the token that also opens PRs, and it definitely shouldn't have something that can touch cloud IAM. Third, ownership and patching. Who owns it? What's the patch cadence? What's the backup and restore story? Is it monitored? Are logs shipped? Does it have an incident plan? If the answer is, I don't know, you've got an outage waiting for a calendar date. And one more thing that matters in the real world. After a vulnerability like this, I assume credentials might be exposed until proven otherwise. Rotate the meaningful ones. GitHub tokens, cloud keys, any API tokens used by workflows. You don't need to rotate your entire company, but rotate the keys that would ruin your month if they leaked. The shortest version of story one is automation is a control plane, and control planes need breaks. Story two, AWS is raising prices on EC2 capacity blocks for ML. Capacity blocks are basically AWS saying, if you need GPU capacity at a specific time, you can book it in advance so you actually get it. It's aimed at ML training and other accelerator-heavy jobs where best effort doesn't cut it. The reporting this week calls out roughly a 15% increase for certain P5E.48 extra large and P5EN.48 extra large capacity block pricing. There's also mention that one region had an even bigger jump, and AWS's stance is basically, capacity blocks pricing is dynamic based on supply and demand. It's reviewed quarterly, and this is what they expect this quarter. And here's why I care, even if you don't touch GPUs. Because this is a clean example of something ops people learn the hard way. Cost is part of reliability. If your ML platform team has runs scheduled and suddenly the unit price shifts, the impacts aren't just the bill is bigger. The impacts are priorities get changed, capacity gets reduced, experiments get delayed. And now you're dealing with delivery pressure and business expectations. Also, it creates internal trust issues. Finance thinks you blew the budget. Engineering thinks finance doesn't get it. Leadership asks why it wasn't predicted. And the answer is suppliers can change pricing. And if you don't have visibility and tripwires, you only learn when it's too late. So what should a normal platform team do? Start with awareness. Inventory who uses capacity blocks, what instance families, which regions, and how much of your spend is sensitive to a rate change. Not your entire AWS bill, specifically the things that could jump and matter. Then, communicate early. If this price increase starts January 2026, you want that message in front of anyone who forecasts spend. Heads up, same workload may cost more starting January. We're adjusting forecasts. Then set a tripwire. Something simple. Alert when the effective rate for a known SKU changes above a threshold, or when spend jumps without a matching usage change. The point is to learn about it this week, not at the end of the month. And the bigger philosophical takeaway is this. The more you build on scarce resources, the more you're building on market behavior. GPUs, specialized networking, reserved capacity, all of it. This is why mature platform teams build two lanes, the premium guaranteed lane for workloads that truly need it, and the good enough flexible lane for everything else. Because you want options when the market shifts. Story two is basically the cloud is still a supplier, and suppliers behave like suppliers. All right, story three. This one is my favorite because it's a real platform move. Netflix published how Temporal powers reliable cloud operations at Netflix. And the key line that grabbed everyone is that Temporal helped them reduce transient deployment failures from 4% to 0.0001%. The context is operating Spinnaker and all the long-running workflows involved in cloud operations and deployments. Now, I'm not here to fact-check the exact decimal. I don't really care, because I've lived the problem they're solving, and you probably have too, a ton of operational work is basically a workflow. It has steps, it has dependencies, it has waiting, it has retries, it has do this, verify that, and if it fails, back up. And most teams implement these workflows as the flimsiest possible thing: a bash script, a Jenkins job, a GitHub action with a bunch of steps, or worse, a runbook that assumes the human will do all of the careful stuff correctly while the world is on fire. Durable execution is basically the adult version of that. It's saying a workflow engine should remember state, handle retries correctly, persist progress, and be able to resume without you guessing which steps happen. Here's the steal this now version. Pick one operational process that you hate. One that flakes or takes forever or depends on a hero. Something like rotating certs across services, rolling a new AMI, doing a blue-green cutover, draining and replacing nodes, promoting a release across regions, migrating a database with guardrails. Now ask, if this process fails halfway through, can we resume cleanly? Or do we restart and hope we don't double apply something? Do we know which step we're on? Or do we just see job failed and now everyone is scrolling logs? Are the steps idempotent? Or are we creating duplicate resources and then cleaning up later? If you answered no to any of that, you're already in the category Netflix is talking about, just at a different scale. And you don't need Temporal specifically to adopt the mindset. Temporal is one implementation. The mindset is treat critical ops like software, not like rituals. Make the workflow explicit. Make it resumable. Make it observable. Make it safe to retry. And then build it so the average on-call engineer can run it without needing the one person who wrote the original script 3 years ago. The reason this is such a big deal in 2026 is because automation is accelerating. Agents are going to write code and open PRs and trigger pipelines faster than humans can reason in real time. So if your underlying workflows are fragile, you are basically giving a faster engine to a car with bad brakes. That's not progress, that's just more dramatic failures. This is why Story 3 matters. It's about making ops workflows reliable enough that speed doesn't kill you. All right. Lightning round. First, Kubernetes dashboard. The Kubernetes dashboard project is archived and no longer maintained. And the SIG UI note basically says there aren't active contributors and maintainers to keep it going. They recommend Headlamp as an alternative, and the repo itself is now marked archived. This is one of those reminders that ops dependencies die. If your org still relies on Kubernetes dashboard as part of your standard workflow, you should migrate now while you're calm and not later when your security team shows up with a clipboard. Next, Docker hardened images. Docker's pushing a story that hardened images are now free and open source under Apache 2.0, positioned as a secure, minimal, production-ready set of images with stuff like SBOMs, provenance, and SVE transparency baked in. You don't have to buy the entire pitch, but the direction is right. Containers are supply chain. Base images are supply chain. If you're still building on random community images and hoping for the best, you are basically taking on risk you don't need. And finally, Pipedash. It's a desktop app that aggregates CI/CD pipelines across providers so you're not bouncing between GitHub Actions, GitLab CI, Jenkins, etc. This is a small quality of life thing, but I love anything that reduces where do I even look during incident weeks. For the closer, here's the human thread across all of this. We are entering a phase where speed is cheap. Automation is cheap. Agents will make changes faster than humans can keep up. The hard part is designing systems where speed doesn't turn into security incidents, budget blowups, and we don't know what just happened outages. N8N is the story of speed without parameter thinking. AWS capacity blocks is the story of speed without cost reality. Netflix with Temporal is the story of speed with the boring engineering to make it survivable. And that's the mindset I'd take into 2026. Don't just automate. Make automation resumable. Make it observable. Make it least privilege. Make it safe to stop. Because if you build a faster machine without brakes, it's not going to fail gracefully. It's going to fail loudly. All right, that's it for this episode of Ship It Weekly. We covered the critical N8N vulnerability and why workflow automation tools are basically control planes now. We hit AWS raising capacity block pricing for GPU workflows and why cost is part of reliability. And we talked about Netflix using Temporal and the bigger pattern of durability execution for cloud operations. The lightning round was Kubernetes dashboard getting sunset, Docker-hardened images going free and open source, and a pipeline dashboard aggregator. If you got something out of this, hit follow or subscribe wherever you are listening. Links and show notes are on shipitweekly.fm. And if you want to come on for a guest episode, hit the contact form on the site. I'm Brian, and I'll see you next week.